Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you today that you have made us your children. And because of that, Lord, we have many characteristics that are revealed to us in the Scripture about who we are. And I pray that you'd help us as we look at this passage today to understand who we are. And to realize, Lord, that we are that because of you. And I pray that we might desire to act like what we really are in Christ. Now, Lord, we know that the message today is a message that's very practical for every one of us. We live in a wicked world. And we are so many times influenced by so many things, Lord, to lead us astray and to make us act like the world when we're really not a part of the world. Lord, I pray that you might give us understanding today, that we might take this passage and apply it to our hearts and obey what it says. If there's someone here today who's been flirting around with the sins of the world, we ask that you might convict them today. If there's someone who's never trusted Jesus as their Savior, I pray that you'd bring them under conviction and that they might realize their need of you. So, Lord, we commit this time to you. I know I have a responsibility before you today to rightly divide the word. And so I ask you to help me to do that. And may you get glory through it all, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in a world where deception is prevalent. Many people are trying to deceive other people, making the others think that they are something that they are not. They do this so they can get an advantage for themselves. That advantage takes various forms. People want to deceive others so that they can receive something from that. It might be financial gain. So somebody deceives you so that they might get financial gain. It might be pleasure. Many a person has been deceived by a so-called lover, making them think that they really care when all they really wanted was what they desired and they just wanted pleasure. And so many have been deceived in that way. Others deceive so they can get prestige, that is, so that people will think highly of them. Or so that they might move up the ladder of respect. And somebody might think them to be something that they're really not. For this reason, many people have gone in debt, you know. Many people have run up their credit cards for the purpose of trying to impress someone. As someone has rightfully said, many people, they spend money that they don't have to buy things that they don't need to impress people that they don't like. And many people have done that. And so there's deception all around us today. Well, we might live in a world of deception. We might live in a world that's characterized by that kind of deception that we've just mentioned. But Christians should not get caught up into that. We should be, if anybody is, we should be genuine. I mean, just be who you are. Be genuine. Now, this morning in our passage that we're studying, we find that Paul describes us in various ways. And what I want us to do is to see what he says we are, and then let's determine that we are going to be what we are. I've entitled the message this morning, Christians, Be What You Are. Now, just what are we? Well, there's many ways that we can describe ourselves as Christians, but we're looking at Ephesians 5 this morning. So let's see what Paul says we are in these verses from verse 3 through verse 17. First of all, he says, you're saints. We are saints. Now, that's good to remind people today that we are saints, because some people have in their mind that saints are people that are in heaven, and there's just a few of them up there. You know, not everybody goes to heaven a saint. You have to be canonized by the Catholic Church. You have to prove that you, after you die, there has to be proved that you did certain things and that you deserve this. And some people, they even put on a fast track to sainthood. You've heard that. That's absolutely ridiculous. There's no such thing as that kind of saint. So don't think that you have a picture or an image of some person who's a saint, and you can put that in your car and you can pray to that saint. You can do that, but the problem is that saint, if he truly knew the Lord, if that person's in heaven, they won't hear you. And they don't have any claim to authority anyway. That's totally apart from the Scripture. The Scripture doesn't have anything to say about that. But the Lord does say something about saints, and that is everybody who trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior is a saint. So we are saints. What is a saint? Well, saint is a set apart one. That's what the word means. It comes from the same root as the word holy. And that is, God is set apart. He's holy. Well, we are set apart. We are saints. So a saint is a set apart one. If we remember that in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul wrote to the saints which are at Ephesus. So he's writing this book to the saints at Ephesus, not the saints in heaven, the saints at Ephesus. In fact, we find an unusual book in the book of 1 Corinthians, because 1 Corinthians talks about this church at Corinth, and they had a lot of problems. But guess what Paul called them? He called them saints. Look with me back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. And you notice in your King James Version, the words to be is in italics. That means that's not really in the original. They're just supplying that to help you understand. But it actually could read this. It actually does read, called saints. We are those who are at Corinth, sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints. We are called saints. So the Lord says this, look, you are a saint. Act like it. You've heard people say sometimes, well, I'm no saint. Well, if you're a Christian, you are. You're a saint. Act like it. We are to be what we are. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul wrote to the saints. He said, to all the saints at Philippi. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 2, to the saints at Colossae. So in all these towns where Paul established churches, people got saved. All those people were saints. And so we are too. We're saints. Now, saints should act like what you are, set apart ones. And you should do that by setting yourself apart from certain sins. I want you to notice his description of those sins. Look at it in verse 3. He says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. So you're saints. Now, here's things that are unbecoming to a saint. And that is fornication. Fornication is unlawful sexual relations. Sexual relations outside of marriage, all those are wrong. Before marriage, after marriage, regardless, they're wrong. And so the Lord says, these things should not even be named among Christians, among saints, because that's unbecoming to a saint. So a child of God should not participate in immorality. It should not be a part of your life. It is wrong, and God says, you act like a saint, don't act like the world. Also, he says, all uncleanness. In the original language, in the Greek, it actually reads like this. Uncleanness, every kind of it. Uncleanness, every kind of uncleanness. All uncleanness. And so he says, you are to be away from uncleanness, unclean things, immoral things. And then he says covetousness. Covetousness means a desire for things, coveting things, wanting things, desiring things so much. And many times it's desiring what other people have. The covetousness is greed. Covetousness is the root of a lot of immorality. You remember in the commandments in the book of Exodus, where the Lord gave the commandments, he says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. So to desire your neighbor's wife is wrong, and it's part of this uncleanness that he's talking about. And he actually says that this is idolatry. Look at verse 5. He says, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater. So an idolater, a covetous person, is an idolater. That means you're desiring things, you're living for things. Instead of living for God, we desire things above all else, and that's what we worship. And so, as Colossians also says, covetousness is idolatry. And so he says, you're a saint. Act like a saint, and therefore avoid these sins. But then look at another sin he mentions, verse 3. And that is, verse 4. Neither filthiness, shameful conduct. Colossians says, filthy communications. He says, don't let that be among you as a child of God. You are a saint. Act like it. Nor foolish talking. Foolish talking is senseless conversation which cheapens a man. Ephesians chapter 4 says our speech should edify people. It should bring grace and minister grace to people. But our conversation shouldn't be foolish talk. Now, there's a lot of foolish talk in the world. But the Lord says Christians are to be different than that. We're not to be given to just foolish talk. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have a good sense of humor. God wants you to have a good sense of humor. I like people with a good sense of humor. I like to think I have a good sense of humor. I like to joke. I like to laugh. But he's talking about debased type of conversation, which is foolish. And the whole context here, he's talking about uncleanness and fornication and filthiness. And so he says, foolish talking, nor jesting. The word jesting has the idea of turning something around. You've been around people like that. Jesting. It doesn't matter what you say, they're going to turn it around to something immoral. Maybe you didn't mean it that way at all, but they turn it around and make it sound like you meant that. And they're all the time turning their conversations around, jesting. A lot of jesting goes on today by the world. Most of the world's comedians do this. All the time turning things around to an immoral connotation. And the Lord says that shouldn't be among Christians. That shouldn't be like, that shouldn't be what you are. It's not what you are, so you shouldn't act like that. Now, these sins are not becoming to the child of God. Verse 3 tells us that. This doesn't become saints. And then verse 4, he says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. Not convenient. That means it's out of place. So it's not becoming to the child of God, and it's out of place for the child of God. And so he says, look, I want you to be what you are. You are a saint. Act like it. So a Christian who's involved in immorality and filthiness and foolish talking and jesting and all those things, the Lord says you are a disgrace to the name of Christ. You're not being what you're not acting like what you are. You are a saint. You are set apart. Act like it. So the Lord wants us to be like we are, and that is we're to be saints. Also, he tells us something else. Look at verse 5. He gives us another thing that we are. We are saints, and then also we're citizens. We're citizens of the kingdom. We are a citizen of God's kingdom. Now, God is saying, act like it. You represent heaven. You represent heaven itself, and therefore you are ambassadors. You remember the Bible tells us another place. We're ambassadors for Christ. And so we represent heaven, therefore act like a representative of heaven. Let's read it. Verse 5. He says, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of those things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." With them. These people don't have any part in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of Christ and of God. He says, so you shouldn't act like them. They don't have a part in the kingdom of God, but he's saying this, you do. You do have a part in the kingdom of God. You're representatives of heaven. As a Christian, my name is written in heaven. My inheritance is in heaven. My Savior is in heaven. Many of my friends who've gone on to be with the Lord are in heaven. I mean, I have my name written in heaven. I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. And the Lord says, now, since you are, you should act like it. Be what you are. Act like a child of God. So many times people participate as Christians in things that are not right. And they'll say something like this. Well, what's so bad about it? The Lord's answer would be this. Does it properly represent who you are? Does it properly represent the fact that you are a citizen of heaven? Are you properly representing heaven itself? And the answer is, if we're participating in these sins, no, we're not. So the Lord says, be what you are. Now, notice these things, these characteristics that he gives. Verse 5. "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man." Now, the way this is structured, he's talking about people whose characteristics are this. Now, that doesn't mean that a Christian can't commit any kinds of sin, because we know that we do. You remember David sinned with Bathsheba, and it was a terrible sin. He also murdered to cover that up. Terrible sin. But yet he was God's man, and God forgave him. Christians can do some terrible things. But David's life was not characterized as a whoremonger. His whole life wasn't characterized that. He had a particular time when he sinned, but his life wasn't characterized by that. And so it is with the true Christian. You can do things that are wrong, and you must ask the Lord to forgive you, and He will, and He'll bless you again. But you're His child, and because you're His child, He might have to whip you. And that's an evidence that you really do belong to Him. And you would never be whipped by the Lord unless you did something wrong. So that means we can do something wrong. But we, as our life, should not be characterized by that. And that's what he's saying here. A whoremonger, an unclean person, a covetous man, a person that is their character, they will not have a part in the kingdom of God. So since they won't, why are you as Christians acting like that? Why are you acting like they do? Why are those characteristics coming up in your life? That is wrong, he says. You remember in the book of 1 Corinthians, The Lord lists a whole bunch of sins. And he says these will not have, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll just turn back there if you will. He says, "For ye know that, for know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators," that's a person characterized by fornication, "nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." It's another place where he's saying the same thing. He says, don't you know that these will not inherit the kingdom of God? People who are that kind of person, that characterizes their life, they are not true Christians and they're not going to heaven. But then he says this, "And such were some of you, but you've been washed." You know, you can be any of those things, and you can be saved and you can be changed. He says, "Such were some of you, but you've been washed." And then at the end of the passage, he goes on to talk to these Corinthians, and he says this to them. Look, some of you are involved in immorality. Some of you have been involved in fornication. You saints have done this, and it's wrong. And he says this in verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you are not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. He says to the Corinthians, look, you are doing some of these things that the world does. You're committing some of this fornication that the world does. And what? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have of God? You are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. So he says, look, you're a child of God. You're indwelt by the Spirit of God. You've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are owned by Him. You belong to Him. Why are you acting like the world acts? And he says, this shouldn't be. Be what you are. Act like what you are. You're a citizen of God. You're citizens of God's kingdom. You're not a citizen of the devil's kingdom. And then he says this in verse 6. Do not let no man deceive you, back in Ephesians chapter 5. Let no man deceive you with vain words. What kind of vain words? Oh, this isn't so bad. This isn't so bad. Everybody's doing it. Don't you know, preacher, that used to be considered bad, but it's not anymore. I mean, it's accepted today. The Lord says, no, it's not accepted today. Let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. The Lord says, this is so serious. Because of these things come the wrath of God upon the people that are characterized by these sins, the people who are children of disobedience. Therefore, be not ye partakers with them. So you're a citizen. So he says to the Christian, look, I want you to be what you are. Be a saint. Live a saintly life. Set apart unto God. You're a citizen. Act like a citizen. You're a citizen of heaven. Act like it. And then thirdly, he tells them something else. Look at verse 8. We're children of light. He says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. He says, we are children of light. Now, we are children of light. Not only do we just walk in the light, but we're children of light. We are actually in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are children of light, and therefore act like it. So he talks to the Christian. The Christian's living a life that's characterized by darkness, deceitful things, characterized by immorality, terrible things that they shouldn't be involved in. And the Lord says, that's what people in the darkness do. You're not that. You're a child of light. Act like what you are. You're a child of light. Now, let's notice some things about light. First of all, light reveals what pleases God. Look at verse 8. For we are sometimes darkness, but now are we light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. The word proving means is the word that means putting to the test for the purpose of finding out. And the Lord once says that light, we walk in the light, we're children of light, and light will help us determine what is right. Put to the test for the purpose of finding out. So the child of God examines things. If something comes to you and some friend says, why don't you do this? And you're a child of light. You walk in the light. And the light of the Lord Jesus and the light of His Word that you have and the light of the Spirit that lives inside of you helps you to know this isn't right. The light shines on that and shows it for what it is. And it reveals the will of God. And you determine what's right. And therefore you reject it. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Then light does something else. A light produces fruit. See, a child of light determines what is right and chooses accordingly. But a child of light, a light also produces fruit. Notice what it says in verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Look at those three things. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness, I think, is saying, you know, as man looks at it, he sees the goodness in us. He sees us as different from the world. We're not deceivers. We're not cheaters. We're not immoral people. We have goodness in our life. And then righteousness. Righteousness is right before God looks at it and sees our life as right. And so light produces these results, this fruit, and that is goodness and righteousness and, he says, truth. Truth. You think about your life. If your life is characterized by goodness, as man looks at you, he has to say, there's goodness in his life. Righteousness, as God looks at you, he says, he does what is right. And truth. If your life is characterized by goodness and righteousness and truth, you are walking in the light. Because light produces those kinds of fruit. Now, do you notice that in this passage, he says that darkness really doesn't produce fruit. Darkness doesn't produce fruit. You know that's true in the plant life. Normally in the plant life, if you have a plant that you want to produce fruit, you don't put it in the darkness because it won't produce fruit in the darkness. It'll produce fruit in the light. A person who's a child of light produces fruit in their life. But a child of darkness doesn't really produce fruit. A child of darkness produces works of darkness. Look what it says in verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So you're a child of light. So don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Darkness produces unfruitful works. There's no fruit in those. It won't produce good things. It'll not come out right. So many times we're tempted to do what is wrong, and we're fed a line that says something like this. Well, why don't you do this? Look at what you'll get from it. And you look at it and say, but it's wrong. Oh, I know that's what they say, but look at the result. Look what you'll get from it. Look at the fruit. The Lord says not fruit. It's unfruitful works of darkness. And it'll not produce good, it'll produce bad. And so light helps us to see that. So light, walking in the light, helps us to see what is right and choose the right thing. Light helps us to produce fruit, goodness and righteousness and truth. But then also notice something else that light does. And that is light exposes wrong. Light exposes wrong. Look at verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now go back to verse 11, the last part of the verse. He says, no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove them. This is our responsibility as a child of light. Light helps us determine what is right and choose accordingly. Light helps us produce fruit in our life. And light does something else, and that is it reproves the darkness. That's what you experience when you go to work and people don't like you because you won't do what they do. People won't like you because you won't participate in the sins that they participate in. And they say, what do you think you are, better than us? Well, I know you're not going to say yes. But you could say, no, you need to understand, I'm a saint. Well, that wouldn't go over good, would it? But you know that's true. You could say, no, you need to understand, you're a citizen of the devil's kingdom. I'm a citizen of the Lord's kingdom. Well, that wouldn't go over well either. But you know it's true. You could say, but you see, I'm walking in the light and you're walking in the darkness. They wouldn't like that either. But what it says is this. Light always reproves darkness. It shows it for what it is. So sometimes, as a child of God, we just need to do what God tells us to, and that is speak up and say it's wrong. Speak up and say it's wrong. It's not popular to do that, and people aren't going to like it when you do that, but you sometimes need to just speak up and say, that's wrong. If someone's living in immorality, you're a friend of theirs. And you know it's wrong. And they're around you and you know you should say something, but you don't. Let me advise you to do this. Tell them it's wrong. They won't like it, but that's what a friend does. A friend sometimes rebukes a person because of their sin. And that's what light does. Light reproves. It rebukes the darkness. Now, let's go to the next thing. Notice the next thing he tells us we are. We've seen this, that we're saints. We're citizens of the kingdom of God. We are children of light. And you'll like this one. And the last thing we see is that we are wise people. We are wise people. Now, the world won't like that because they consider us dumb. Now, you see that in the political realm. I mean, even though this doesn't necessarily mean people are Christian, but people who are conservative, you know, conservative usually means that you believe the old ways. You believe certain things are still wrong. You believe homosexuality is still wrong. Oh, boy, you're a conservative. You know, something wrong with you. Or you still believe that financial responsibility is important, that we shouldn't spend more than we can pay, and, you know, our debt shouldn't be so big. And for a person who believes that way, you're conservative. So you could go on and on about conservative principle. But have you ever noticed that the people who are not conservative call the people who are conservative dumb? That's what they do. They call you dumb. Because that's not the enlightened way. I mean, that's not the way we think today. That those old ideas are dumb. The Lord says, let me encourage you, child of God. You're not dumb, you're wise. Then he says this, you're wise, act like it. Now, why do I say we're wise? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says this, are ye that we are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. I have Christ Jesus. He is my Savior. God says that He is made unto us wisdom. If I have Jesus, I have wisdom. I mean, you think about it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because I'm a Christian, because I know Jesus, I am in the way. That's pretty wise, I think. To be in the way. In the way where? In the way to heaven. There is one way to heaven, and I'm in that way. I'm going to heaven. The people who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they might think I'm dumb, but guess what? I'm going to end up in heaven. They're not. So I know the way. I'm in the way. Because I'm in Christ. I'm the way, the truth. I know the truth. They might make fun of me because I believe what the Bible says, but it's the truth. And God would say, you're wise. You just keep on being wise. You have the truth. And when they make fun of me because I believe that God created the heavens and the earth and all the, and the seas and all that in them is in 6 literal days. 6 days. He made it all. And they said, no, it took billions of years. They say, I can't believe, that you still believe those things. Well, make fun all you want, but I still believe them. And the Lord says, I'm wise. I have the way, the truth, and life. Oh, I'm alive. And those who don't believe in Jesus, guess what God says they are? They're dead. Have you ever met a wise dead man? I haven't. People are dead outside of Christ. So the Lord says, I have the way, the truth, and the life, and I am in Christ Jesus, and when I'm in Christ Jesus, He has made unto me wisdom. So the Lord says, I am wise. Well, we should act like wise people then. Since we are wise people, let's act like it. Let's look at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Look at verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise. So you're wise, so don't be unwise. But here's what wise people do. He mentions 3 things. They walk circumspectly. The word circumspectly means carefully. It means they look around with perception and accuracy and determine how things really are. They walk carefully. They make sure that they do the right thing in the right way. They are careful about their decisions. Life is important. The hours of life are important. The days and the weeks of life are important. And so we walk determined that we're going to do what's right. And we walk carefully through this world. That's why I believe Christians should have a plan for your life. And we should plan to please God. I believe days are important. You shouldn't get up in the morning and say, well, whatever happens, happens. You know, I'll just lay around. You know, somebody calls, I'll go do this. Somebody says, do this, maybe I'll go do that. And I don't have any plan. I'm retired. Even if you're retired, life's important. And a wise person walks circumspectly. And so we should plan what we're going to do. Life is important. You won't get anything done if you don't. But life is important. We are wise, and therefore we should walk circumspectly. Then notice another thing he says, verse 16, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. I mean, we live in evil days. Redeem the time. That means buy up the opportunities. Make the best use of your day. Make the best use of your hours. Make the best use of the time that God has given you. Redeem the time. You are wise people. You don't just throw it away. Use it wisely. And then he says this, verse 17. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. God says you are wise people. Act like it. Understand what the will of the Lord is. That means God says, I've given you a brain, and I want you to use it. So you understand what the will of the Lord is. He's given us a book to determine that will, to tell us about that will. It tells us what His will is here. So we're to read it, and we're to study it, and we're to decide what He says so we can know what His will is. And so He says, I want you to do my will. Understand what the will of the Lord is. You are a wise person. Walk carefully through this world. Buy up every opportunity to serve Him and make sure you understand what the will of the Lord is. Now we sum all this up by saying, Lord's saying this, be what you are. Be what you are. You're a saint, you're a citizen of heaven, you're a child of light, and you're a wise person. Act like it. I read a story some time ago about a man who sold wood to his neighbors. And he had a pretty good business, and they did buy from him, but they knew something. I mean, everybody knew it. He sold wood, and he told them it was. He sold wood in these four-foot sections. That's the way he cut it. That's the way he sold it. He said, it's 4 foot. But all those that bought wood from him knew that it wasn't 4 foot. It was 2 or 3 inches shorter than 4 feet. I mean, he just cheated a little bit. So one day they heard that this guy got saved. He was converted. And the guys were gathering around in the store and they were talking. They said, did you hear that so-and-so got converted? And somebody else said, I won't believe it until I see it. So one of the guys got up and he ran out of the store. And he came back a little bit and he says, it's true. He's been converted. He said, well, how do you know that? He said, because I went down to his place of business and I measured the logs that he cut yesterday and they're 4 foot long. What was he saying? He said, he's what he claims to be. Well, you know, we are children of God. We should live like it. I read another story about a little boy. He was watching the preacher, went over to his house, and the preacher didn't know he was coming, but the preacher was out working, and he was building something outside. And he looked, and there was the little boy just standing there staring at him. And he didn't say anything. The preacher kept on working, and the little boy just staring at him. And finally the preacher said, son, he said, you trying to learn how to do carpentry work? And the little boy said, no. He said, well, why are you staring at me? What are you trying to learn? He said, well, he said, I was just wanting to know what a preacher says when he hits his thumb. Well, I hit my thumb not long ago, and it was black for a long time. Finally, that nail came off, and it's starting to heal. But when I hit it, I know I did not say a bad word, because I don't do that. Even before I got saved, I didn't do that. I can remember a time when I was a teenager that I used to curse, but I cursed in my mind. I mean, I can remember it. I would, oh, man, I just curse in my mind, but I'd never say it. I mean, Dad might hear me, and boy, that'd be worse. But I didn't say it. But I remember, because it never became a part of me of saying it, I remember one time I was in college, and I probably told you this before, I grew a beard, first beard I ever grew. And it was a bet we had between me and some other guys who would keep the beard the longest. Well, they all shaved their beard except me, and I still had mine. And I was going to shave it, but I wanted to do it in my time. They caught me one day, 3 or 4 of them, and took me into one of their rooms and held me down and shaved me with an electric razor. I was so mad. It's probably the maddest I've ever been in my life. I mean, I was mad. One of the guys who was my roommate was a photographer, and he took a picture. Later, he gave me an 8x10 of it. I still have it today somewhere. I don't know where it is, but I still have it. But I remember one of the guys who was my friend came by the room later after things had calmed down. And he said, Earl, he said, I know you were mad. But he said, I noticed something. You never said a bad word. And I said, well, Harold, I guess it was because it wasn't in me. But I sure was mad. Well, the Lord says this to us as Christians. You're a Christian. You're a child of God. You're a representative of heaven. You are light in a dark world. You are wise. Now just act like what you are. That's what God wants us to do. Be what we are. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for helping us to convey this message. Lord, I know that your word is clear. And I pray that we would understand what you have for us today. And that we would determine that we're just going to be Christians like you've made us. Help us, Lord, to represent you properly in a lost and dying world. I know that the world really is tired of fakes. They're tired of people that pretend. They would really like to see the genuine thing. And Lord, I pray that we'll be just be genuine. And help us as we act like saints, and act like citizens of heaven, and act like children of light, and act like wise people, that we would also act like people, as verse 1 and 2 says of this passage, who are children of love. I pray that we might display the love of God as we act like what we are. Help us to be good representatives, and that someday we'll hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.